Welcome to Redeem the Commute Stress and Anxiety course. I'm Ryan, your host. We hope that you enjoy the course today and get a chance to think about or discuss the question at the end with others. Just as a general reminder, the course includes general tips, and you should absolutely see a medical health professional to understand your specific situation. The course is offered by Dr. Kate Witheridge, and here she is now.
So the reason why I bring this up is how we're going to actually structure what I'm talking about today. So this actually comes from cognitive behavioral therapy and theory, which focuses on sort of shifting thoughts and behaviors. But the general idea of it is to look at, okay, there's sort of core emotions or moods that we experience. So because it's really hard to change emotions directly, we have to think about what else can we change that might change the way we feel. So how can we reduce stress? How can we reduce anxiety? This applies to other emotions, so depression and anger. If I can't just tell myself to stop feeling anxious, like, I don't know about you, but if anybody says to me, oh, stop worrying, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, don't worry anymore, right? Stop being annoyed. Oh, okay, right? So we have to think about what can we change, right? We know there's an interaction between the way we think about things, the way we behave in situations, and our physical sensations. So what I thought I would do for this workshop or this kind of talk is to talk about strategies for all of those things. And I'll end, if I have time, a little bit about what we can do with emotions, although we can't really target that directly. That's what we're going to talk about. So how are we going to change the way we think, right? So I always say it's not this, right? If I just say nice things to myself, like I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, then I'm magically going to feel better, right? So I think we often hear about the power of positive thinking. If I just have a nice mantra that I repeat in the mirror, and, you know, like I'll magically feel better, right? Does this work? Right. No. Why do we think it doesn't work? Like, why wouldn't I be like, here's how you manage stress. Just say nice things to yourself. Yeah, not very authentic. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, denial. Yeah, so it's not very authentic. Sometimes it sounds nice, but you're like, that's not believable. Yeah.
The more prevalent
Exactly, right? So it's not believable. The other thing that I often, and we'll talk about this next slide, is that sometimes our thoughts can be true, right? So, Sophie, I'm going to pick on you, but if, you know, it's like, what if this kettle of boiling water spills on me? You're like, I've had an experience where that is actually a possibility, right? Or what if people don't like me? It's like, I have a moment where somebody said, Kate, you're kind of annoying, right? So we have to understand that sometimes our thoughts might actually be true. And if we like rainbows and sunshine, kittens and tuxedos it, we're like, but that's also inaccurate on the other side. So what we do is to say, all right, I need to actually think about challenging my thoughts. So we do this through thought records. So the idea of thought record is that we actually want to look at addressing our negative thoughts, but we want to have balanced thoughts. So I think the important thing about this, and I have a whole workshop about this at U of T, is that we don't want to be like positive thinking. We want to think about how do I find a middle ground? So the goal is not to think positively, but to challenge the belief that our thought is 100% true 100% of the time or 100% guaranteed to happen. So the reason why this is important is because we often, in anxiety, look at things and assume things are high probability. It's guaranteed that if I try and talk to this person, I'm going to do something embarrassing. It's guaranteed that if I leave my house, I'm going to have a panic attack. It's guaranteed that the reason why this person is not responding to my phone call is because something bad has happened to them. So we want to try and reduce that mental probability and create balanced thoughts based on the facts of the situation rather than the way we actually feel about it. So I'm passing around thought records, and what I will say about this is often people look at this and it looks overwhelming. It's like I work with students, right? So they're like, you're about to make me do homework. This looks horrible. But I promise it's not terrible, and there's actually reasons why we recommend doing this as a strategy, but also writing down your thoughts. So this is not on my slides. But one thing is that because our thoughts go so fast, if we can actually write down our thoughts, we can actually slow down our thought process, right? Like when we get anxious, our thoughts start racing. And even just by writing it down, it forces us to say, like, what am I thinking right now? The second reason why it's helpful is that often a little bit of that emotional distance, kind of I'm writing it down, helps us see, like, maybe that thought's not really accurate. Like, I can see where maybe it started with an observation, like, today is Thursday, I have a presentation at 7, maybe drifted into, I'm not fully prepared, people aren't going to like me, they're going to think my jokes are dumb. The other thing is that when we get to the end of this, is that we want to find balanced thoughts, right? So if we can actually look at the facts of the situation and create a balanced thought, the next time that thought or a similar thought pops up, I already have that written down. If we try and do this in our heads, it's really hard. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to think balanced and rational thoughts when they're feeling really anxious or depressed or angry. Like, all of a sudden, it's just like, I can think of every reason why my thought is true, why this person clearly hates me, why they're not responding because I've done something wrong, rather than like, well, they do have a phone that dies frequently, or they do work downtown and cell reception is always dodgy on Bay Street, so maybe they're not responding because they can't text me back. So what I thought I'd do for the next few slides is talk about how do we do this practically. I recognize that this is sort of the short and condensed version of how do we change all our thoughts in 7 minutes. So don't feel like if you're kind of like, what is she talking about? I don't know if I can do this. There's great resources, and they are on the lovely handouts over there that are not in the thought card. So if you have more questions about that, feel free to follow up with me, or there's other resources that will help you with it. So the first two columns are situation and mood. So situation is just where are these thoughts occurring, right? So the general idea is what's the context or what's sort of a triggering situation. So I'm using sort of our case example to illustrate this. So the situation is that I left a message for my friend or loved one 3 hours ago, right? They haven't responded, and the context is they usually actually respond pretty quickly. So this is kind of out of the norm for them. And then I want to look at how am I feeling in this moment. So you can list as many emotions as you want. And we have ratings just because we want to look and say, like, how intense is that emotion? It's a subjective number. We like to have numbers and ratings as psychologists, like, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? You know, does it add up to 10? So in this case, I arbitrarily chose some numbers. So I would say I'm feeling anxious, and I rate that as 8 out of 100. That's pretty intense. I'm also experiencing fear as 60 out of 100, so kind of a moderate range, and a little bit angry. One thing I'll say about this is that if it starts turning into a sentence, it's actually a thought. So this seems pretty straightforward, but we like to use things like, I feel like my friend is ignoring me. It's like, okay, my thought is my friend is ignoring me. Is the emotion anger that I think they're ignoring me? Is it sadness? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? So any questions about those two columns? That makes sense to people? Clear as mud? All right. So the next column is thoughts. So I think of this as stream of consciousness. There's probably more thoughts than the ones I listed here, but for PowerPoint visuals, I did not list all of them. It might start with an observation, like my friend hasn't responded to my phone call or my message. Like, all right. But usually what happens at some point shifts into predictions or interpretations or something else where I can actually start looking and saying, like, there's a thought that's really bothering me. So they haven't responded to my message. All right, that's an observation. What if something bad has happened to them? Then it starts turning into they were in a car accident. I won't be able to cope without them. Like, I've already assumed something bad's happened to them. And what we want to do out of the list of thoughts is choose which one is actually most distressing. So I might say my prediction is that they were in a car accident. On your thought record, it says, what is the hot thought? That's just what that is. What's the thought that I think is most distressing? It's not that they haven't responded to my message. It's the interpretation. They didn't respond because they've been in a car accident. So the next column is cognitive distortions, which is just a fancy way of saying that there's themes to our negative thinking. So these are not all of them, but the general idea of this is to say, like, what could be going on? So the idea of catastrophizing is one thought leads to another thought, and they get progressively worse, and before I know it, something horrible's happened. When I talk to students, it always is like it starts with today is Tuesday, I have exams next week, I'm going to fail my exam, I'm going to fail this course, I'm going to fail this school, and somehow I'm now living in my parents' basement or a cardboard box and I have no friends. And you're like, how did I get there? So sort of worst-case scenarios. Jumping conclusions is kind of looking at our crystal ball. Guaranteed something bad has happened. And then kind of the what-if thinking. The reason why it can be helpful to look at this is just to say, like, what could be going on here? What do I notice in terms of themes? You know, another one that I think is quite common is what we call black and white. Either it's good or it's bad. Either they're fine or something horrible's happened to them. There's nothing in between. So I believe, maybe I should check to make sure it is on your thought record. Maybe not. Sorry, I forgot to put it on there. So there is a list. If you want the list, I can email it to you later, or you can look it up online. There's all kinds of cognitive distortion lists. But it's just a way of looking at themes and to start noticing things. So what we really want to figure out with negative thoughts is, how do I begin to challenge this thought? So we call it evidence gathering, which is the idea of, rather than going with feelings, we want to go with, like, what are the facts of a situation? So I always say it's a little bit like a court case. You know, if you're on trial for something, so if they think I'm stealing Snickers bars from 7-Eleven, I'd want facts, right? Like, what are the facts to say, yes, Kate went to 7-Eleven and she stole Snickers bars? And then I would hope that there's actually facts on the other side to say, maybe it's not 100% true that on my lunch hour I went to 7-Eleven at College of Spadina and I was stealing Snickers bars. So I like this because if you think about court cases, we need facts. Feelings don't count. You know, I'd hope that no one on that jury or that judge is like, Kate kind of looks hungry. We kind of feel like she did it, right? But we so often do that when we think about our thoughts. Like, I feel like my friends don't like me. Any reason to believe that? No, I just kind of feel like it. So it's really important when we think about facts. Like, you know, if the facts are that, in fact, my friends are like, you're kind of a bummer to be around, or you talk too much, Kate, or your jokes are dumb, I'd be like, all right, there's some facts to say maybe my friends don't like me. But then I would also look and say, all right, are there any facts to say maybe it's actually not true? So once again, we just want to look at objective things. So in the case of this person not showing up, evidence four, which is always the, yep, reasons why my thought is true, well, they haven't responded to my message. So, like, it's kind of a fact of the situation. Another friend didn't respond in the past, and they were in an accident, right? So going back to the idea of maybe I've had a past experience that says non-responding to text messages means something bad has happened to them. And the weather has been bad lately equals more accidents on the road. You know, like, I think yesterday they were, like, Twitter, like, the Toronto Police Service was like, there have been, you know, 10 accidents in the past hour, right? So if you see that on Twitter, you're like, maybe that's one of my friends. But then we want to look and say, are there any facts to say maybe it's not 100% true that my friend has been in an accident? So, well, I do know their phone is old, and they did tell me 2 weeks ago that this was going to be a really busy week. So all we want to do is look at facts and say, all right, maybe I can find a balanced way of interpreting this non-response to my text message. So that's the final column of the thought record, which is, how do I find a middle ground? So once again, this is not about creating rainbows and sunshine, positive, like, nice things to say, but I don't believe it. But what's a middle ground? So the idea of balanced thoughts is when we actually have evidence that does support our thought to say, like, yeah, I need to acknowledge that. So in this case, it's possible that you could have been in an accident, because there have been, you know, a bunch of accidents in the past 48 hours. But I also know that it's a busy week and their phone battery dies quickly. So it's possible that they haven't had time to respond or didn't get my message, so maybe I'll wait until tomorrow or I'll send them another message. So once again, it has to be balanced. One thing I'll say about this is that, you know, you want to make sure it's believable. So sometimes people write really nice things and they're like, yeah, that sounds nice, I don't believe it. You want to make sure it's fact-based and challenging what you're actually worried about. So I could say, oh, well, I don't think they hate me. And I'm like, but that's not what I'm worried about. I'm afraid they got in a car accident. So the final column of the thought record is just sort of checking in to make sure, after going through this process, has my mood shifted? Do I feel a little bit less anxious? Do I feel a little bit less angry? Do I feel less, you know, worried? And hopefully you do. One thing I'll say about this is you don't necessarily experience zero anxiety, zero worries, or irritability, but just, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better. The general idea of this process as a whole is the more you do that, the more you practice it, the more you're like, here's what my worried thought is, and here's what I say to myself, they become linked. So I always kind of describe it like the angel and devil on your shoulder, like from cartoons, where the devil's really loud. It's telling you negative things about yourself, other people, those predictions, and we want to get that angel side a little bit louder to say, yeah, this over here, but this could be happening too. And as we do that, we unlearn that negative thought, kind of find a more balanced thought, and then that negative thought doesn't have the same emotional loading, and it tends to kind of go away. So that's the how to change your thoughts in 10 minutes.
Well, thanks for joining us today as we explored changing the way we think. There was a worksheet that that Kate mentioned, and I've attached it in a PDF form in the app and on our website. Hope you'll get a chance to take a look at that and complete that worksheet today. That's your homework. The other thing I want to remind you of is if you're looking for a way to introduce some peaceful, calming, meditative time into your day, we do offer daily prayer as part of our offering here at Redeem the Commute. It's a great way, maybe at the lunch hour or on the evening commute, to de-stress. Spend some time with God. Well, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.